y'all were in that church building that looked like a bank. I looked all over that place for money, and there was none there. It was a good while ago. I think that was four. And anyhow, y'all have been kind to me and kind to my church down there and my whole family, and I surely do appreciate it. I always had to stay with the Keenans, and Miss Keenan always writes me, begs me to come. Or you know, the pastor's starting to have some mental issues now, so we try to take care of him. I know y'all have been taught not to say anything, you know, and y'all are doing a great job there. Really appreciate it. Rally around the old man. Sit down there. Okay. Amen. I say what I want to say. I already got my offering now. Amen. Okay, here we go. John chapter 10 and verse number 7. Man, we've had a good week, haven't we? She's singing that song, "I Don't Know What God Saw in Me." And I got saved when I was 13 years old, and buddy, he didn't get much when he saved me. I remember being about 5 or 6 years old, my granny would take me up in the bed. They had a dairy, and in the summertime, we would have to go work on the farm. Daddy would take us up out of the city and drop us off there for a couple of months, and we'd work there. And back in those days, they'd make all the kids sleep on the floor. They'd make a pallet. People don't know what pallets are now. They think, they set you on wood. They put you on wood out there. And so I didn't like that because she had scorpions, and I didn't like all that. So I'd cry until Granny would pick me up and put me in the bed with her. She had one of those feather mattresses, you know. You'd lay in it. It's like a burrito. It'd boom, it'd swallow you up. And Granny would stroke my brow and tell me that Jesus loved me. And she put those gospel seeds down in my heart. And it took a little while for it to come to fruition and bring forth. But at 13 years old, man, church, I had pretty well gone as far as I could go, as far as I wanted to go. Man, our home, our poor little old home, it was a busting up. There was drugs in there. There was alcohol in there. There was just bad times. Every weekend it was a mess. It's nothing but fussing and fighting and yelling. But that's all I knew. And so that's what I thought. That's what I thought a man was. That's what I thought you did. And God had dealt with my heart a couple of years prior to that, and I told him no. My daddy wasn't saved. I remember the first time I heard a man pray, I said, "That man's a sissy. My daddy doesn't pray. My daddy doesn't talk like that. That man must be a sissy." I got a real good education on things along the way, and I didn't want to go that way. I didn't want to. It was nothing but heartache and mess, but that's all I knew. And it was like I was on the fence, ready to jump over. And I was headed out, and the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of my heart. I crawled up in that bunk bed, and I found out God was up there in that bunk bed waiting on me already. I didn't know how to pray. I couldn't tell you John 3:16 if it was in that Bible. I couldn't tell you none of that stuff. I just knew God was right, and I was all wrong, and I was sick and tired of it. And I called out to him that night. I prayed the best way I knew how. My older brother and my little brother were in the room, and I didn't want them to hear me crying. I put my head in that pillow. And I said, "Jesus, would you please help me?" And he saved my soul at night. And I know that doesn't mean much to you, that prayer, you know. It's like kids, some of our grandkids now, they come and they talk to grandpa and they say something. I have no idea what they're saying. I have to go get one of their brothers or sisters, you know, and I said, "What is Uriah telling me?" And he's telling you, "Grandpa, your suit looks ugly," something or other, you know. I don't know what they're telling me. I don't understand that talk. You don't understand my prayer, but God understands Phil talk. Amen? And God saved my soul, and that's however many years ago that's been. Been a long time, almost 50 years now I've been saved. And God called me to preach, and it just, and to come down here, up here, wherever we are, amen, in this foreign country, and to get to preach in your new building, and golly. Amen. I told you we'd make it to the big times, Miss Dunn. And I think we've made it to the big times. Amen. John 10 and verse number 7. Okay, so if I don't get them all right, you do the interpreting there. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that thou might have life and that thou might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Father, I pray now just for a little bit, Lord, you'd help me preach just one more time. God, I ask you if you'd give me that unction that comes from that other world. These folks have come a long way, God, and man, they've prayed so hard and worked so hard and they've given their money. They sure would like to hear from that other world this evening. And I pray, God, you'd help us now. And we ask it in the wonderful and the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So the good shepherd, you know, we know that to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And him being the good shepherd, obviously, it means there's some bad shepherds. And that's what he talks about, the hireling and that bunch like that. Aren't you glad you got you a good one to lead you? Amen. It's not a hireling. There are bad ones. Look in verse number one. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. And it talked about, we read over there in 12 and 13 about being the hireling. They flee away. You know, but our good shepherd, he said he's the door. And I tell you, heaven and salvation would be no good to us if there wasn't a way in. And I'm glad that he's our door, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ in our Bible, it'll talk about in 1 Peter, it talks about him being the chief shepherd. And then there in Hebrews, I think it is, talk about him being the great shepherd, and that's what he is. He's chief, he's great. I could stop on that all night long. That's not where I wanted to get to. I want to get to this. We've got us a wonderful, wonderful shepherd, amen. One that loves us and cares for us. He's a wonder is what he is, wonderful. He said when he created things, he said at the end of the days, he said it's good. When he created a finished creation man on the sixth day, he said it's very good. But Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, amen. He's past good, he's past very good. He is wonderful is what I'm trying to tell you this evening. And but there is another one that we read about there in verse number one. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and the same as a robber. I want you to notice that thief. He's got a plan, and it's always some other way. You know, we got a joke around the place. You know, you should work for Ford because you've got a better idea. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. It doesn't matter what the church has prayed about wants to do. Some folks always got another way, some other way. I just want to tell you, you know, a lot of times that's just nothing but being full of the devil. Amen. But the devil's way, that other way, is never the right way. It's never the right way. It's never the good way. That's his plan. I want you to notice his progress there in verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Lord said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But that thief, the progress of that thief is that he cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. A little petty theft might not mean much to you, but I'm telling you, thief doesn't stop there. When we moved into our building, bought it 20 years ago, you know, they're always breaking out windows. They're always getting in and stealing stuff. They still come by and steal stuff. You know, I couldn't get the cops to help me do anything. One night they busted out 19 window panes. They busted out the windshield and the side window in my car. They stolen gas out of our gas tanks. They stolen our stuff. And they got in twice and poured gas around and tried to burn us down. The cops asked me one time, they said, Reverend Nunn, what is it you want us to do? And I told them, I said, I want you to make them stop it is what I want you to do. It just progresses. That's how the thief is. He's got him another way. He got him another plan. And he's not going to stop at just stealing. When he gets finished, amen, he wants to tear everything is what he wants to do. Tear it all up. But I want to tell you this evening that I am wearied with him. I am tired of him. I'm talking about that thief. I don't have any time for him and his ways, and I don't know how it all gets done. I don't know how we're going to complete the job. I don't know how we're going to get it all done. But somehow, some way, we need to stop that thief, amen. The preacher preached the other night over there, 1 John chapter number 4, and the first verse is about trying the spirits, and it got down to greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Could I get an amen right there? Amen. The one that lives inside us is greater than this thief. Now, I know that he huffs and he puffs, and he's pretty terrifying. You know, our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I understand all that, and I understand he means business. You know, if you were to look in your Bible where Lucifer, where the devil, where Satan, where the dragon, where that wicked one, when he's made mention of, listen, it is never good, never good. Yet he deceives people into thinking that what his plan is a good plan. His other way is a good way. And I'm telling you, friend, it's not. When he exposes himself in the book of Job and the Lord says unto him, consider my servant. Have you considered my servant Job? He said, you know why I can't do anything to him? Listen to him talk. You know why I can't hurt him? It's because you got a hedge around him. That's all Satan wanted to do was to hurt Job. And I'm telling you, that's all he wants to do to you and I tonight is just to hurt you and to destroy you. Somehow or another, we're going to have to put an end to all of this stuff. Had to put an end to what this thief is trying to do. So I'd go to work every day. I was working down there. We were building a big church building. And I'd go down there and I'd work and I'd come home. My kids were little. And I come home one day and I get in the garage and I'm looking for one of my tools and it's not there. And I told my son, I said, hey, you know, you've been messing with daddy's tools. And he said, no, daddy, it's that man that lives next door to us. He came over here this morning. He asked mom if he could borrow one of your tools. I said, oh, yeah. So next day I came back and I was going to cut the grass and my gas can's gone. I said, Joe, where's my gas can? He said, Daddy, it's that man next door. He came over here this morning when you were gone, and he asked Mom if he could borrow the gas can because he's going to mow his yard, and he got your gas can. I seen him out there. He didn't ever work. He thought he was real pretty. He'd put on his biker shorts, and he'd go out there, and he'd mow the grass out there for everybody to see him at 10 o'clock in the morning when he finally got up. Amen. So I told Joe, I said, look, Joe, if that man comes back over here, you let me know. So I went to work the next day, and our house was about three houses, Brother Kenyon, off of the corner. So when I turned the street, I could see Joe. Joe was out there. He was leaning on that mailbox, and I knew something was up. He was waiting for Daddy to come home. And I pulled in the driveway. I didn't even get out of the car all the way, Brother Leo. And Joseph told me, said, Daddy, that man came over here again today, and he wanted to borrow something. So I went over there to his front door, and I started beating on his front door. I said, hey, buddy, I want to talk to you. I knew he was in there. He was afraid to come and answer the door. I said, hey, I'm not going away till you come and answer this door. He cracks the door open about this much, you know, and he's looking out there. I said, I want my tools back, and I want my gas can back, and I don't want you coming over there in my house unless I'm over there. And then you want to borrow something, you know, you come over there and talk to me. Don't wait until I go to work, and then you come over there, and you ask my wife and ask my kids if you come out. I want my stuff back is what I want. And I'm just here to tell you this evening, it's about time that me and you go and knock on that old thief's door and tell him, I want my stuff back. You stole my stuff, and I want it back. I'm telling you, church, it's time we shake ourselves like men. It's time we grab ourselves, amen, and stand up for what God has given us. And knock on that thief's door and tell him, I want my stuff back, amen, is what I want. One of the things we got to get back is we got to get our reasoning back. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought I was a child. You ain't a child no more. You're grown adult people, amen. We got to get our reasoning back. We had let this crazy government and this society and anybody that's big enough to think they can intimidate us telling us all of this stuff, and it's turned out to be just what the preachers have been telling you for a year. It's turned out to be lies. Amen. It's time we get our reasoning back. We have lost our absolute minds. Amen. You know, when we're told to take something down, you know, we got a poster up, we're supposed to take it down. They tell us, you better take that down or we're going to write you a ticket. Boy, did we take it down. If you've got on a shirt, you know, says Old Paths Baptist Church, come and see something or other, amen? They'll tell you, you can't wear that shirt in here. Take that shirt off. Boy, we take that shirt off. Well, they don't. They don't ever take their shirts off. I don't mean it like that. I said that came out wrong. Amen. They don't take stuff down off of their social media sites. They don't do it. You know who's the only people who do it is us. It's time we get our reasoning back. They're not going to stop until you make them stop. This thing is not going to be over until God's people decide to get right with God and ask God to put an end to this. Man, it ain't time to hide. The Bible talks in Proverbs about there's a lion. There's a lion in the street. Don't go outside. Well, if he won't go outside, how does he know there's a lion in the street? You ever think about that? How does he know that lion's out here? He ain't ever got up, amen? He laying in the bed, peeping through the window shades. Or he heard on the internet. Oh, it's terrible. There's a lion out there somewhere. He don't want you to go. He don't want to go out there because he's all afraid. David wasn't afraid of the lion. I mean, he's getting ready to go fight Goliath, and Saul's putting all his armor on him and putting all that stuff on him, and David says, hey, I don't know how to do this. Look, just give me some of them rocks and give me my sling. You know, I took care of that bear, and I took care of that lion. They'd come in there and grab them sheep. I got them sheep back. I killed them. I can kill this uncircumcised Philistine who is defying the mighty name of God. Amen. And we're hiding underneath the bed. There's a lion in the street. We got to get our reason back. It is not time to hide. The Hebrew boys didn't hide. You know, the king got them and found out they wouldn't bow. They weren't, when the rock and roll outfit would start to play, that they weren't bowing. And the king found out about it. He called them in and said, look, you know, I really like you guys. I know y'all are good guys. Y'all just didn't understand the order. You know, I know y'all want to do what I say. So here's your chance. Led Zeppelin, whatever his name is, amen, he's going to strike up the band there in a minute, and as soon as he starts playing, I want y'all to bow down. And so they strike up the band, and they don't bow. He said, now look, you know, I know maybe you're not very good on this language we speak, so let's try it one more time. El musico, el bow-o. Bow-o. Down-o. They fired up again. I'm sorry, ladies. Hey, they fired up again. Leo, I'm your pastor. You gotta be nice to me. Amen. Amen. Si bueno. Amen. They said, we don't care. We really don't care. We're not going to bow. You can throw us in the fire. And I'm not trying to tell you it's going to be easy. I'm not trying to make believe that we're not going to face some very, very difficult times. Actually, I think we are going to face some very, very difficult times. And maybe when I was in my 20s, I'd think different, but I'm not in my 20s anymore. I'm a full-grown man, and I'm not going to stand by and watch everything that we got be taken away from us. I don't want to watch it. I expect for my grandkids to have a place, a nice place, where a man of God still gets up and preaches, where the music is sweet, the music is right, it stirs their heart. That's what I want for my kids, and I'm telling you, you're not going to get it if you don't fight for it. Our reasoning, it is not time to hide. Daniel didn't hide. They told him, you can't pray. No more praying. And as soon as Daniel found out that decree got signed, he went in that house like he had done. He left them windows up like he had always done. He got down on his face, and he prayed where everybody could hear him praying. Now, I'm not telling you you're not going to face any persecution. I'm not trying to make it all rosy and all okay. If you'll just do this, everything will go away. I'm not trying to make you think that. I'm just trying to get you to see that what we got is worth fighting for. And it ain't time to go hide. It's not time to hide. You know, the preacher wanted them to sing that thing about the soldier, and I keep this in my Bible. It says there, I'm a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Scripture is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I'm a volunteer in this army. I am enlisted for eternity. I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I'm there. I'm a soldier. I'm not a baby. I don't need to be pampered, petted, primed, pumped, or picked up, or pepped up. I'm a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I'm a soldier. I'm not a wimp. I'm in my place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, or candy, or give me handouts. I don't need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I'm committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into the army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all of my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. The devil cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me, for when my commander calls me from his battlefield, he will promote me to a captain and then allow me to rule and reign with him. I am a soldier in the army. I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I stand. Will you stand with me? It is time for us not to hide, amen. It's time for us to get our reasoning back, to stop thinking like they're whipping us, to stop thinking like we're losers, to stand up and be counted for the glory of God. That's our time. And that thief has stolen that reasoning from us. It's not time to hide, and it's not time to hate. It is easy to hate that crowd. It is easy just to get, just fired up, fired off, and get mad at him. Amen. They're picking up rocks, and they're chunking them at Stephen. They said Stephen's face began to shine. He said, man, I see the Son of God, Son of Man standing. I think that was Jerusalem. That was the Jews' last chance right there, I think, for him to come back then to take him as his Messiah. I think he was ready to come. What did Stephen say when they're throwing them rocks at him? Stephen said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can we say that? We're going to cuss them out every chance we get. We're going to be mad at them. We're going to hate them. How are you ever going to win them? You ever look at that list over there, 1 Corinthians, of the people that Paul led to the Lord? I tell you, he's not going down to Bible school and getting them. Some of them, he wasn't going down to the synagogue and getting them. He was getting them out of the ditches, the defiled. He'd get low down, good for nothing, sorry, sinners is who. When you went to First Baptist Church, the First Independent Bible-Believing Baptist Church there in Corinth, and you shook hands with that guy that met you at the door, you don't know whose hand you're shaking, who he used to be until he got saved. They're not ever going to get saved. I'm not saying they will. I'm just telling you they're not ever going to get saved if we start hating them. We've got to get our reasoning back. The thief is taking it away from us. It's not time to hide. It's not time to hate. It's not time to hold back. Man, a great, great story. I think I marked it so I can get to it. If I did, Exodus chapter 4. Yeah, I marked it. I'm already there. Just listen. You know the story anyway. Exodus chapter number 14. Moses has got the people of God. Pharaoh's are coming on them. And around verse number 10, I think it is. And when Pharaoh drew nigh the children of Israel, lifted up their eyes, and behold, The Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there is no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you of this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Man, Moses is trying to get him to calm down. Just relax. You know, God's going to take care of us. We get mad at leadership. We mouth off at leadership. And man, the leadership is trying to get you to stand still so that you can watch God do something. It might not be tomorrow that it happened. Man, what were they telling you about? You worked every hoop that the township or whoever it was asked old pastor to jump through. You jumped through it. You came out here and you did everything they said. I remember when we first drove up here, I remember him telling me how much money he needed. He needed just before you ever turned any soil. The paperwork, the drawings, it was thousands of dollars. I think way back then we sent some money because it was thousands of dollars. It did not look promising. You jumped through that hoop. Then they told you I had to do something else. You had to percolate the ground or whatever you do. You know, y'all going to make a lot of coffee, I guess. I don't know. You jumped through that hoop, started getting the plans, started getting things approved, started getting some permits done. Every time the inspector come out here, probably found something that he wasn't really satisfied with and had to jump through that hoop. You jumped through every hoop. Now you come to this water thing, amen, and it looked like, and I'm not getting on you. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm not saying we lost faith. We lost confidence. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to tell you, everything that they've thrown your way, God has been faithful. But it might not be tomorrow. You don't have a permanent CO. It might not. It might be a little bit before you get that. But you can't put your head down. You can't miss the blessings of God because you're cast down. Give God a chance. Moses said, hey, stand still and see the glory of God. Just give God a chance is what he said. Don't be looking back there at Pharaoh. Pharaoh's a running with all of his horses. He got all his chariots. He got his mighty men. And that's where everybody's looking. Everybody's looking back there. I was preaching one time through an interpreter. And man, that interpreter, he does a great job. I'm preaching my heart out like I'm trying to do tonight. I'm preaching my heart out. And I look at the crowd, and brother, everybody's looking at the interpreter. And they don't even understand Spanish. And they're looking at him. I'm thinking, hey, the gringo is preaching. Look at me. How do I say that, Brother Leo? Look at me. Yeah, that thing. Look at me. That's what we're doing to God. God's trying to talk to you. You don't even understand Egyptian or Pharaohite or whatever he's talking. We're all worried about him, looking at him. Look at God. Moses gets down there to pray, and God's aggravated. God tells Moses, get up. I don't want to hear what you had to say. Go out there and do what I tell you to do and tell the people to move forward. Amen. That's where we need to be moving. Forward, not looking back. Move forward. Amen. God blessed them. It is not time to hold back. It is time to give it everything you got. So we're in high school. And this district-wide track meet is taking place. And we're in a real close race for my high school, King Mustangs, for us to win the district track meet. Get the district title, first place in district. And it's coming down to the 4x4 relay for the young men. So they take off. We got guys that are running in this relay that went on to play professional football. And they're running. We got a good team. We got a chance. And they're running, man. It's looking good. We're out in the lead. They're passing that baton. And it comes to the end. And they go to pass that baton, give it to Cliff Davis. And Cliff dropped that baton. I tell you, that crowd, we were just cheering. We knew we had it. District title was ours. But when Cliff dropped that baton, it was like pulling the stopper out of a bathtub. It just, down it went. Everybody's all so sad, but not Cliff. Them runners went past him like he was chained to a stump. He grabbed that baton and he took off. He was way behind. There was an outbuilding down at turn 3 and 4, and when he got behind that outbuilding, he was in last place when he went out behind that building. When he came out from behind that building, I don't know if he mugged him, he shot him, he tripped him. I don't know if he offered him money. Well, when he came out from behind that building, he was in first place. No more drained out bathtub, buddy. We was cheering and ready to go again. Amen. Cliff ran across that finish line in first place. We won. We won. I'm trying to tell you, we won. Amen. It's not, you might have dropped the baton. Pick the thing up and get running. I know one thing. If you don't pick it up, you ain't never going to fish, and you for sure ain't going to win. You don't know what's going to happen along the way. Pick up the baton and get running. You might make up some lost ground. Man, if we run into the Red Sea, just give God a chance to part it. If we run into Goliath, maybe somebody will step forward and kill the sucker. Amen. But it doesn't matter. If they put us all in jail, I'll see you in heaven. What are they going to do then? Let them say whatever they want to say. Because all in heaven, after we get through the judgment seat of Christ and I'm still alive, thank God I'll get my glorified body. Amen. Just pacing around there waiting. I'm not much of a horseman. I know I wear a cowboy hat and I wear boots. I just like the way they look, and I got bad skin, so I wear a cowboy hat. Amen. But I'm going to be up close to my stallion, petting that sucker, making sure he's well fed, because one of these days I'm going to jump on him and we're coming back. Yeah. Then it's going to be our way. They might as well do everything they want to do right now, because we're coming back one day, and then it's going to be our way. There's no time to hold back. Rouse then, soldiers. Rally around the banner. Something. It says a bunch of good things, amen. I thought I had it all memorized. Sorry about that, preacher. That thing too, yeah. I'm telling you, aren't you glad Leo came? Amen. I want to get my responsibility back. It's our responsibility to win them to God. It's our responsibility. Amen. I know we get contrary. If anybody can get contrary, I'm on that list. So we have spent, since I've been there, we bought that building for $103,000. And friend, not pulling string, not speaking evangelistically, no offense to the evangelist. We've put in $500,000, Daniel, $500,000 in that building. And I've done myself about 90% of the work. $500,000. Don't come down there and think you're gonna run me off. That would be a bad. I'm not just one of them big, tough guys. You know, Brother Wood always used to tell me, say, you know, if you ever catch you in a bad way in a fight out there in the street, you know, it's good to have Brother So-and-so with you. The way I think, why do you want to get in the street and fight? That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I'm glad Brother So-and-so is here, but I don't want to get in the street and fight. But, you know, I'm not going to run away from it either, David. I'm not going to run away. So, the school had a big project building stuff, and they run all over my parking lot and tore it all up. Hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage. They're not going to do anything. We don't have the money to sue them, you know. They got endless amount of lawyers and everything else they can drag us all out. I just asked the Lord if he'd help us. So I need about 3 1/4 to do the parking lot. I'm praying. I asked this guy that I've known him since he was a kid, if he could help me. He got a company to come out there and do a reclaim where they grind it all up, put some cement, smash it all down, and then put the asphalt on top of it. Brother Keenan, for all that parking lot we got out there, except for that new part in the back, that all that parking lot out there was $102,000. $325,000 worth of stuff. I'm telling you, God heard our prayer. So, you know, I'm real particular about it. I was so excited. When we painted the stripes on there, I slept in a paint stall, in one of the parking stalls every night in a different one. I love that parking lot. Oh, man, it's such a great parking lot. So I hear all this racket out there one day, and I go out there, and there's a big old semi on that parking lot. He's got that tractor. He's got it jackknifed and got them back tires back there where they're going to pivot, and they're going to turn. They're going to mess up that parking lot. And so I get my camera out, you know, where he can see me. I'm videoing everything. I'm videoing. I don't even know how to video it. After I looked at it, all it was the parking lot. I'm showing him. So he rolls down his window and he said, "Sir, can you help me? I'm lost." I said, "What are you doing on my parking lot? You know you shouldn't park here. You know you can park out there." "Yeah, you're lost." He said, I got out of here and get lost. Maybe you could help me." "No, I can't help you. And get off of my parking lot." See, who's bad now, buddy? So that night when I got ready to pray, I get down there to ask God, you know, help my wife because she's really mean to me all the time. You know, and God didn't want to talk about how mean my wife was. He said, "Why didn't you talk to that guy? You could have been nice to that guy. He was just lost. You made a mistake. You ever made a mistake? You made a mistake. I could have witnessed to him. I could have gone up there and I could have said, 'Hey, you know, I hate you did all this stuff, but maybe God got you lost so I could talk to you.'" No. My thinking, because we get mad. My heart is not right. That is our job, is to witness to those fools out there that are headed straight to hell as fast as you can go. That's our job. Man, I let that wicked one steal it from me. Tell you another thing, and the preaching's been super good on this. We need to get our righteousness back. Amen. It's been preached on enough. I don't. But your mind is important when it comes to righteousness. Amen. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." The renewing of our mind. How you think matters when it comes to righteousness. So could I use this illustration? Would it be okay? So when you got to be on a weight loss program, and I have been on diets and diets and diets. I've been on 3 at a time so I could get enough to eat. Amen. You know what they try to do? You know what they try to do, brother? They try to change your thinking about food. That's what they try to do. You know what the preacher has been doing up here? Our evangelist, do you know what he's been trying to do? He's been trying to get us to change our thinking about righteousness. That the mind that is in Christ Jesus would be in us. You'll never have success over your weight without changing the way you think. You'll never have success, could I say that okay, with righteousness, without allowing the Spirit of God to change your mind about sin. Sin has got to be exceeding sinful. And it won't. And just a little thing. Why it bothers us so bad? Why the wicked one is stealing it so easy? It's because we just can't take it. This crowd cannot take it anymore. Not you in particular, but us, some among us, myself included, the churches. We can't take it. We can't take the. That's my wife. One time we went to family reunion. Asked, "Do you always wear a skirt?" I told them, "No, not when we sleep." She doesn't. Yeah, they didn't like that much either. It went over about like it went over right here. None of your business. What is the problem? We just cannot take the ridicule. We're just wimps. It isn't necessarily that the pull of the world is so hard. It's just we're weak. We can't stand up. That's what happened to the crowd, and I'm just using it as an example. It doesn't mean anything. That's what happened to the Trump crowd, to wearing the MAGA hats. They got afraid to wear a MAGA hat where they go. And we as God's people had gotten afraid to live for God in a righteous way out there in the world. That's what our problem is. We need to change that thinking. In the Bible, who do you want to please? You want to please man? You're never going to please him. Or you want to please God? You can please God. You'll never satisfy this flesh. You'll never please the flesh. And you will never, never please the world. You'll never do it. You might as well write you down a holy way to live, a righteous way to live. Write it down, mark it down, put it in your heart, and live that way. And just say, let the chips fall where they're going to fall. Well, I'm afraid my kids are going to be mocked and going to be ridiculed. Friend, if we don't stand up, they're going to come and take our kids away from us. You're doing your kids a great disservice. Oh, well, I got off. That was an extra one. Amen. And you know what else I want? I want my rejoicing back. That's what I want. I want my rejoicing. I realize the state of everything. I understand everything is not all that great. But I'm telling you, if everything has to be good for you to shout and for you to glorify God, then the world is what gives you your joy. Man, to come in here and to see what God has done. This is not just faith anymore. This ain't driving up here, setting out chairs and a bunch of woods and trees. It ain't that anymore. It ain't holding a prayer meeting. You're not down on your hands and knees and saying, God, give us a building. God's saying, open your eyes, dummy. I gave you a building. God's given it to us. God has answered your prayers. God has heard your cry. We ought to praise his wonderful name. We ought to just clear us off a spot, amen. Get us some signs, march down there by the street. Tell them how our angle of our parking lot is exactly perfect according to PennDOT. Man, and just cheer it on, amen. And thank him. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And we've let the thief steal our joy. Man, we ought to be shouting, we ought to be smiling, we ought to be singing. Pastor was telling us how that music gets your heart prepared for the preaching, and it ought to help you when you're at the house too. You know, I've told y'all before, when I wanted to praise the Lord when I got in that church. I wanted to praise the Lord so bad. You know, and I'd hear those men, they'd stand up, they'd get over, am I going to bleep? And they'd get up there and they'd praise God, and I'd look at them and say, man, I want to do that. So I prayed. I was about 14 days into a fast, and we're having good service. I can't remember the name of the singing group. They come by, buddy. They had her cranked up. They were going to town. Brother Wood, he was having a good time too. They were standing and shouting. I thought, Daniel, this is my chance. Here's my chance. I jumped up and said, amen. I sat back. Oh, my wife is looking at me like, what was that? The kids are hiding underneath the pew. I was so embarrassed. And I had my Bible, dropped my Bible and everything. It didn't go anywhere like I wanted it to go. Brother Wood was looking at me like, sit down. So I went home. I put me on some music, you know, and man, my heart would start getting big, Pastor Matt, and man, God was there, and I'd practice in the house. Amen. Wanted to be, you know, where you could do both ways, you know, bilingual or whatever you call it. I practiced. Put that music on. I'm telling you, God would leave where he was at, and he'd come in there in that house with me. Man, my heart would get big, and I'd praise his name. I found out, man, if you can figure out how to do it at the house, you can do it down at God's house. That sorry sucker, I'm not going to let him steal my rejoicing anymore. We went one time, these people invited us to come to this big singing thing where they're all real fancy. They all stood and they held their books and they never moved their books. I don't even think they were real people. They was just, and they were playing this music. Nobody ever moved. Nobody ever breathed. They didn't do anything. Had this orchestra and all this stuff. I was so bored. So when they come in, they give you this light bulb thing, and it's on this stick. I guess it's got a battery in it. And it tells you in the program, at a certain time, to light your light. And everybody's going to put their light out. So it got close time for that. The house lights went down. They were singing. I was thinking, finally, it's getting over. We're up in the balcony, like right on the front rail of the balcony. There's probably 3,500 people in there. And the house lights went down. And everybody started lighting their light, putting it up. So I got my light in my lap. Miss Dunn said, put your light up. Light it. Stick a light up with everybody else. They started singing, "His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful." They started doing that again and started getting, you know, and I started thinking, you know, his name is wonderful. And I'm sitting there like this, you know. I got my candle. And I'm getting my legs starts going like that, and Miss Dunn starts going, "Put your candle down. Put your candle down. Don't put your candle down." Come again. And that guy who was doing the orchestra and the stuff, he stood up. He had this little pin light thing where you could see it moving around. Everybody's dressed in black. You couldn't hardly see that. But he stood up and he said, "Let me have it." And I thought he was talking to me. So I jumped up. "Bless his wonderful name." Man, them little lights went flying everywhere. It took about 30 seconds. And then my usher's over there, sir, you come with us. Come with us. I am not going to let them steal my rejoicing. That bunch of dead crowd, amen. We ought to show them what happiness is. You ought to show them what joy is. How to rejoice in his name. We let the thief steal it from us. For what? Over what? Because you got a pimple? For what? You don't want to go to work anyway. So what? You got laid off. You didn't want to go to work. You griped about it every day. Then you come on, "Oh, Pastor Keenan, I got laid off today." And inside you should be rejoicing. That's what you've been wanting for 2 years. So I'm about 10, I think, maybe a little bit older. So my little brother, he's 8. My next door neighbor, Steen Stovall, he's a year older than me. Daddy bought me a basketball for Christmas. So we went down to the park. They just poured a blacktop, so we put basketball goals on it. So we went down there to play. Brand new basketball, first time I had it out. And these two teenage boys and this teenage girl come by. They took my basketball. So my little brother Steen, and I was too, I was afraid. They took it off. They went out in the park, and they're a couple of hundred yards away from us. So Charlie, my little brother, he says, "We need to go home." I said, "Yeah, we need to go home." I said, "But we need to get that basketball." So we start headed over there to where they are, and the closer we got to them, the further away Charlie and Steen got from me. They were headed to the house. So I went over there, and I told them, I want my basketball. And that teenage girl, "Hey, little man." Oh, man. It was killing me. She kept mocking me and making fun of me. So they would, one of them would get down behind me on the ground, the other one would push me over. They'd kick dirt on me. I'd get back up and I'd tell them I want my basketball. Little man. I'd had about that much of it. And I kicked that guy. Well, I just kicked that guy. Where he talked like a girl, where I kicked him right there. He dropped my basketball. And the other guy, he got scared. And I got my basketball. Amen. You know why it was important to get my basketball? Because it was better for me to take whatever they were going to give me and get my basketball back than to go home and face my father without that basketball that he gave me. And we're soon going to stand before the Lord. Amen. And you're going to stand there without stuff that he has given you because you let the thief steal it. And it's worth whatever this world wants to put on us. Whatever they want to put us through, it's worth it to keep what God has given us. Because I want to stand in front of him and be able to say, "Thank you, Lord. What you gave me, you can have it back. Bless your wonderful name." Let's stand together and pray. Amen.